Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Integrity and Correction. I'm your host, Brett Mosley. I got a very touching and emotional show lined up today. I have a formerly incarcerated young man who did time in prison and turned his life around and became a very successful businessman. And I know this guy personally. I was brought up, we're from the same hometown. And it was very emotional for him and his family when he had to go off to prison. As we all know, prison take a toll on families, both emotional and financial, creates a lot of hardship. But to see a man in, you know, in one of his darkest moments get out of prison, turn his life around, and become an inspiration in the community, I'm especially proud of this young man. He's always been a very respectful kid. You know, I call him a kid because I'm older than he is. But what he's done is just remarkable. He's not bitter, you know. He paid his debt to society and came back to his hometown. And he's made his family proud. And he solidified it, the saying about, you know, it's not how you fall, it's how you get up. And it's just so many of our kids now are incarcerated. You know, this so-called war on drugs have taken a toll on people of color, and it's just a sad situation. You know, I formerly worked in the correction in Mississippi, and I know firsthand all the dark side of correction and incarceration. The justice system is so unjust, and I get emotional when I start thinking about my experience and what I've witnessed and how I almost became incarcerated myself because people in the Department of Correction didn't like me because I spoke out against brutality and injustice. And I see that I was like 5 minutes away from being incarcerated myself. But I'm not going to take up all the time. I'm going to get right to and bring Marlon on. And Marlon, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Marlon,
yes,
how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm fine. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Good. Nice to hear
mm-hmm.
you. Hear you.
Yes, sir. It's a blessing.
Well, Marlon, I'm pretty excited about the show today. You've always been a very inspirational young man since you've been back in the community, and I'm very proud of how you turn your life around. And you know, whether you want to or not, you're a role model for a lot of young men, especially formerly incarcerated young men.
Amen.
So what I'm going to do is give you the opportunity to just share with us your story and some of the things that you think can help improve the system and be a positive influence to some young man that have a similar story. So take it away.
Okay. Hey, everybody. My name is Marlon Johnson. And like Mr. Mosley said, sometimes in life you come in a situation where you just break. And what I mean by break, you just fall into pieces. You get caught up in the worldly things. And back in 1996, I went to prison for 13 years and 9 months. I got sentenced to 13 years and 9 months. So I had to do 12 years before I can get back out to society. So when I, what I did was, if it weren't for God, grace, and mercy, I wouldn't be able to do that time. And what happened was I had to learn how to change myself. You know, first of all, you have to start with self. You know, we can point fingers at other people, the things we do and everything, because God take a picture of all things. And, but anyway, I went to prison, and I had to evaluate myself and change myself, because now I'm away from my family. I'm away from my friends. Now I'm dealing with people who I never met before. And so God changed my life. And so while he changed my life, I had to learn how to watch what I say, watch what I do, watch how speak to people and all type of stuff. And what I did, I got in church. I got in praise and worship. I started singing. Every time the church door opened, Lord gave me breath, I got up and went to church. And so that helped evaluate myself and change myself. And I got into classes and school and hobby craft. I do leather belts. I also cut hair. I have a business now. When I got out, I wanted to go to school. I wanted to go to barber school. And I had the devil try to stop me from fulfilling that. And I just kept moving forward, and I just thank God for that. So now, today, I have my barber license in Texas. I have my barber license in Mississippi. I have my business, Your New Wear. I make leather belts. I make clocks. I make all type of stuff. And that keep me staying busy and stuff, so I won't be able to fall back into things that's going on of the world, because it's continuing. And while it's continuing, them doors in that prison is open, that system, to put us as blacks back in the system. And it hurts my heart, because I tell people what I experienced. They said, how can you have a testimony if you never been tested? And I was tested. But through God's grace and mercy, he brought me out of it. So now I'm back here in Waynesboro, Mississippi. Like I said, I'm CEO of Sippy Cuts, and I'm the CEO of Your New World. But I thank God, because everything is his property. Everything we own in this world is God's property. That's why we have to watch what we hold on to and what we take and what we put our mind to saying is mine. Because it ain't ours, it's God's, first of all. And so, you know, I try to, every day, he wakes me up, I put him first in my conversation, in things I do. I'm not perfect, but I try to strive for perfection. And so, like I said, today, you know, I just want to share with you all, you know, through the journey. It get rough sometimes. Through God's grace and mercy, when I look at it, it's a blessing. It don't have me where I'm all bent and out of shape. And that's why I just pray and ask him to just give me the strength to be able to be a witness and be an example. Because you have, I was talking to a guy probably 3 weeks ago, and I asked him, I said, man, when you was young, when you were growing up, you been in and out of jail, in and out of jail. And I asked him, I said, what is you doing now? And he said, man, I ain't going to tell you no story. He said, I'm in the streets. I said, man, come on, man. And 2 weeks later, after I talked to him, he ended up finna get about 20 years. And that hurt my heart. And I just want to encourage our youth, our older people and everything, that we have to stick together. We have to stick together, because God don't look at just colors or nothing. He look at all. I go to a church down in Waynesboro, Mississippi, called Abundant Life, and it's mixed. We all on one accord. We letting God work things out in our lives, and we don't pick up the small things. So, you know, you have to take your time and self-examine yourself first. Now, I'm going to go back to the prison life. And when I was in prison... Yes, sir.
Marlon, I'd like you to touch on, because there's a lot of young men out there that think prison is a badge of honor. You know, it's like a badge of honor to say I did time in a certain prison. But I like you to touch on that. Tell these young men. I know personally because I work in the prison, and it's not a badge of honor. It's nothing good about going to prison. Prison is a bad place to be, you know. And
yes, sir.
You can learn a lot of things in prison, but there's nothing good about being incarcerated. So we need to explain that to these young men, how the type of hardship you went through. You know, you turn your life around, which is I'm proud of you, is good. But reflect on some of the darkness of the prison life. Okay.
Okay. Yes, sir. No, you have a lot of young men. They think that by you going to prison, you get stripes and you hard and you the man, you get a name and all that. But it's not good because, like I said, it's a system. And you can, I call it in society, you can be a dominant man out here. But only way you could be able to do it is you have to die daily. You have to. And prison, the dark side of prison is well, I'm a kind of what I have learned with the federal and the state. I call state you rock and roll. It seems like when they go in there, they got the fight to be able to show that they tough. Federal kind of different because you're dealing with people who have money. Now, like I explained to the youth out here when I go and do high schools and stuff and I tell them, I said, check sales, check your time, stop outrunning yourself because prison ain't the way to go.
Did you notice the disparity in the race in the prison? I noticed that there's a big disparity in people of color in the prison system. It's blatant that the prison system is designed to target people of color. Actually, it's the new slavery. And the prison industrial complex is just, you know, money is it's about money. And I know you saw that when you were in there, but especially the federal prison system where you got a lot of industries and products that the prison make. So the intent of the prison system is to put people away, people of color, you know. They take a, you're worth, actually it then got to the point where a black life is worth more in prison than it is in the free world. And I just think that it's appalling, but you need to continue to tell your story and tell kids that you know, it's easy to get caught up in the system. It takes very little effort to get sent to prison.
But
it's the hardest thing in the world to get out of.
Yes, sir.
I got my co-hostess on the line, Miss Mary Neal, and I want to know if she want to have something to say. If so, Miss Neal, are you there?
I am here, Mr. Mosley. I certainly appreciate your inviting me to speak. I have been so delighted to hear your guest who made a successful reentry after 12 years imprisonment, and I want to congratulate you, sir, for doing that. I didn't catch your name. I came in after you had already begun. What is your name, please?
My name is Marla Johnson. Ms.
Mr.
Mills.
Johnson. So
yes,
wonderful to have, you know, we do so much hard work for our inmates on our internet. We work very hard for our inmates to have humane incarceration. without any physical abuse, with lessening of mental abuse, such as solitary confinement and what have you. And it is just marvelous to hear from a person who benefited reentering society. Your reentry was successful, sir. And
yes,
I just want to congratulate you on that. And I also heard you say that you got into some things that you shouldn't have, and that you came out of them. And I thank you for also saying that God brought you out, because you started seeking him in all things. And that sounds like a man who's really got it together, because you took responsibility. Yes, there were society factors. Yes, there were. But you didn't point those out. You said you made bad choices.
Yes, ma'am.
And I love that, because even with society pushing us toward doing wrong, we still have it within our own power to choose our own path and to not let ourselves be pushed to crime.
Yes.
And so I like it that you took responsibility, and that you are continuing to keep your lifestyle clean, and that you develop skills that that will carry you through. And I just praise God for your testimony today. You have some more people on the line, Mr. Mosley. Should I let one of them talk?
Yes.
Do you see your board in front of you?
9332 number.
Yes. Do you see your board in front of you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, click.
9332?
You see 9332? Okay. Do you see that it's... Okay, there you go. 9332, you're on the air.
Okay.
Hello, 9332?
Heavy starts. Can you check my pockets? I don't know if I left some money.
9332? They may not want to talk. We also have 7376.
7376, would you like to speak? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, would you like to speak?
You're on the air.
You're on the air.
Yes. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air. You're on Blog
Talk
Radio.
Go ahead.
Yes, he is a good fellow, and I'm very proud of him, and I want him to keep up the good work, and the Lord will bless him fully.
Okay, thank
you.
Give
him everything that, okay.
Go ahead, ma'am. This is encouraging.
Hello?
I think her call dropped.
Yeah.
Let's go back to 9332. 9332, would you like to have a comment?
9332? Maybe not.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Johnson, for your testimony today. I'm sure you are inspirational to many, many of our re-entering persons who are coming out of correctional facilities. I'm sure that you will be called on to speak to the youth in your church and other churches and in the community, because it's inspirational to talk to you. And I think that one of the main good points about what you said are, number one, taking responsibility, and number two, seeking spiritual things instead of worldly things. And number three, being determined to equip yourself to deal financially in this world. So those are three very important things, and I want to thank you for pointing those things out to us, because they are for everybody. So thank you again, Mr. Mosley.
Okay, you're quite welcome. And Marlon, I can't say enough about how you know. I know you personally, and I know your struggles.
Yes.
You know, I know your family. I know the type of hardship that your family went through, And mm-hmm. But I like the way you rebound, man.
Yes, sir.
And you keep up the good work, and because yes. you're a testament to that you can turn your life around. And you know firsthand that the struggles that you have when you're in prison, it humbles you. It gives you a appreciation for things that you normally take for granted every day.
That's right.
And I know you're grateful because during 12 years you suffered. You know, say, a part of you die every day when you're in prison.
That's right.
And for you to rebound, man, it takes character. It takes a lot of character, Marlon, to do what you've done. Because you could very easily just let your prison experience consume you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of time and wind right back up in the same situation that you was in before you got out.
Yes, sir.
And it's very inspirational. And
mm-hmm.
and you tell your story, man. You tell your story. You know, God didn't deliver you from all of that hardship to stay silent, you know.
Yeah.
Those kids, you're a role model down there in Waynesboro, and you need to get your message over to these young men, because it was very painful for me to watch all these young men in prison. You know, a lot of them was in there for something they didn't do, and the disparity in the sentencing is just out of sight. But there is some hope. Because this week, the Obama administration is just in the Justice Department is getting ready to release a lot of low-level drug offenders.
Yeah,
and a lot of these guys are going to be put back out there in the community, and they're going to need somebody like you to be a spokesperson for them.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Ben, let me comment on that right there a little bit too, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, but it's like, it's good that they let people out, like low levels and stuff like that. But, Mr. Moser, what we need out here, though, is when they let people out of prison, they need reentrance programs. They need reentrance programs. And I try to be standing in those gaps, like with hobby craft. I could teach people how to make belts. I could teach people how to cut hair and stuff like that. And that's what I want to be a part of. So when guys get out of prison, I could be able to help them get adjusted back inside. After they get through talking to their probation officer, I want them to send them to me, and I teach them how to, you know. And that's what they don't have out here. It was just God's grace and mercy.
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is some programs, and I'll be touching base with you, and Miss Neal know she's got a wealth of experience and connection, and we're going to stay in touch with you and get you back on the program again. But what you're talking about is it's needed in the community, and
yes, sir.
I commend you for even wanting to volunteer your services like that. It just shows that you're not a selfish person.
That's right.
And Miss Neal, are you listening?
I am, and I went to the U.S. Department of Justice website, and it's if you put in United States Department of Justice reentry, if you just put that in, reentry, you will see that they have a prisoners and prisoner reentry site at the Department of Justice, and it says that over 10,000 ex-prisoners are released from America's state and federal prisons every week, and they arrive at the doorsteps of our nation's communities. More than 650,000 ex-offenders are released from prison each year, and studies show that approximately thirds will be rearrested within 3 years of release.
Yeah.
And so the U.S. Department of Justice is interested in helping people to avoid recidivism. And one of the ways that the DOJ does that is they give grants to organizations that are set up to help people have successful reentry. And I'll be glad to share some more information about those grants. A lot of the grants go to established organizations that already have they're already set up. Like, for instance, a lot of the grants go to churches, and a lot of the grants go to established reentry programs, but the requirements are not that extensive. So, in other words, your church will probably qualify right now for a reentry program for the grant for it. And then if you go to your pastor and say, "Pastor, I want us to apply for a USDOJ grant to start a reentry program right here at the church," then the church, since they already have the tax-exempt status and everything, they could apply for the grant. And in the grant writing, of course, you would say that you're going to use your skills and your know-how. And so it can be something that is financed. It does not have to be strictly volunteerism. So I just want to say that so that other people who might be interested in the welfare of people coming out of prison will know that a good amount of money is set aside for successful reentry programs, because the USDOJ is interested in cutting down on this recidivism, which is right now one-third. In other words, they say one-third of the 650,000 ex-inmates who are released every year return to prison. And
yes,
so money is devoted to making sure that that amount of people reduces and that more people have the type of successful reentry that you're having. Could I ask you, Mr. Johnson, who is most responsible for helping you to adjust back once you completed 12 years incarceration? Did you already have a home waiting with someone? And tell us what that was like for you. Who helped you?
I had a brother from another mother, one of my friends out in Dallas, Texas. His name was Bernie. And he gave me my chance to be able to help me get back into society. He out there in Irving, Texas. He got his screen haircuts and designs. And he helped me to kind of get back on track. And that kind of, when that, you know, because when I woke up, you know, it was hard. Now, I'm sometimes sleeping on the hard floor, from a hard floor to a blow-up mattress, from a blow-up mattress to a bed, you know, but I never gave up. And, you know, it's, as I wake up every day now, it's still kind of hard now, but I don't let it bother me in a way where I break it.
That's
well,
right. I've been doing a motto all day, and it says defeat is not an option. And when people get that in their mind, defeat
yes,
is not an option, then they don't even think of things that would lead them back to prison. They
yep.
think of pushing forward and succeeding. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Thank you, Mr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Neal. As always, you're always informative and uplifting.
Great.
And you is a blessing, my sister. And I
yes.
just can't say enough about you. I'm probably biased, so I can go on and on. We've been running out of time, but I'd like to thank all the listening audience. And Marlon, thank you very much. And I'll be getting back with you with that information that Ms. Neal was talking about. And
yes.
you continue to keep
Mr.
up the
Mosley,
good work.
You might
yes.
not be aware that you have another 15 minutes.
Right. Do I?
Yes, you do. The thing is that Blog Talk Radio gives 15 minutes of wrap-up time, so you can continue your conversation for another 15 minutes.
Okay.
I want everybody to know that you're listening to Human Rights Demand. That's Human Rights Demand. That's the channel, and you're listening to Mr. Britton, B-R-I-T-T-O-N, Mosley, M-O-S-L-E-Y. His radio show is called Integrity in Law Enforcement and Corrections, and he's on every Thursday at this time.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You have another 15 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, yeah, Marlon. What we'll do is work with you. I'll get with Miss Neal, and we'll find out all the information that you need, and you could probably get something started down there. And,
yes, I'm ready. I need help. I ain't gonna have no pride and acting like it's just, you know, but it's a day to day struggle. But like I said, like I got the ambitions to. I know that break coming. It's open up, but you know.
Well, you done weathered the hard part, my brother. You weathered the hard part, the 12 years. So you just got to use that as fuel to keep you going. And I can tell you that you'll get uplifted when you see you helping turn somebody's life around. That's what it was like for me when I worked in the prison system. The job mm-hmm. is paying the money, but I was always inspired to see that I was making an impact on kids that previously didn't have that kind of influence. And that was rewarding to me when I could walk down the street and run into some of the guys that was incarcerated at one time, and they tell me their story, how they have turned their life around. And mm-hmm. it was a very emotional at times, because I knew some of their story, you know. And mm-hmm. I know that you would be very inspired and uplifted to do something like that.
Yeah.
And I commend you for wanting to do it. And like I say, Miss Neal will, I would get with her, and you could probably befriend her on Facebook. She's very informative. I can sit there all day long and just read her story. She's got mm-hmm. a background in journalism. She's an incredible lady. She's the epitome of strength. You're talking about a superwoman.
Yeah.
So I'd like for you to get to know her, and if she don't know the answers, I guarantee you she can get it for you.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about.
She's a wealth of knowledge.
Yes, sir. Yeah, well, like
that'll
I said,
be Mr. Mosley, and I just want to advise that the easiest way is to not reinvent the wheel. That's the easiest way. For instance, if there's a barber shop that you work at, the thing is, if you want to offer barbering courses to ex-offenders, it would be good to get with them. That way you already have your EIN number and what have you, and get your grant written under them. Or if you already belong to a church and they're interested in prisoner welfare and ex-offenders coming back into the community. And that ought to be something that every church should be very interested in, is helping prisoners readjust to society and live wholesome lives. And so if your church is interested, you could write your grant with your pastor about the program that you like to start, where you teach barbering and where you teach belt making and what have you, and give lectures on being steadfast even in the midst of the storm. You know, the thing is that we've got to be stronger than we have been, and we've got to be stronger in the Lord than ever before. We live in a day when a lot of people, especially, unfortunately, a lot of African Americans are letting go of God's hand. They're listening to the hype. And the truth is that the only one who can really bring you out of a situation or prevent you from going into a bad situation is God. And the only name whereby people may be saved, I believe it, is Jesus Christ. But a person doesn't have to necessarily believe like I do for me to want them to be successful and happy. And so you, if you feel like meeting in the church basement would be insulting to some of the brothers coming out of prison, you might want to think about getting the grant through your barbershop. And that way, you know, you wouldn't turn off people who don't have a Christian mindset.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, ma'am. You're right. And And that's what I was, it's just coincidental how you brought that up, because I have my instructor license to teach, and I have been on my heart to open a barber school. I have been praying for the last, 3 years to get a barber school, so when guys get out, be interested, and people get out of high schools, because I like dealing with people. When you get out of high school, I ask a lot of seniors today, I ask them, I said, when you get out of school, what you want to do? A lot of them say they don't know what to do, and I ask them, do you want to be a barber or stylist? And they say, yeah. And that's another thing that I want to do here. I've been looking at a building, but, you know, of course, the financial. And that's why I thank God that he brought y'all to me today. So I'm going to have to look at grants and stuff like that, because that's been on my heart to teach. I want to teach.
Well, I tell you, brother, you just call me later today after the broadcast, and we will touch and agree in prayer that God is going to give you a barbering school. We can pray for that, and we can ask for that. We are both Christians. We can touch and agree. And
yes,
if you diligently work toward that, you speak to the mountain and say, be removed and be dropped into the sea. And that mountain will have to obey you in the name of Jesus. And you and I both know that. So we are going to touch and agree that you will have your barbering school and that you will continue this work that God has put before you to help re-entering people and to also help channel our youth away from prison in the first place. I tell you, Mr. Mosley, I'm going to have to turn this over to you because I'm about to get happy.
It ain't nothing wrong.
I was enjoying your conversation, as always. But, Marlon, I think you God sent, man.
Yes, sir. I, like I said, I always try to stand in gaps. And, you know, like you said at the beginning, you know me as a child. You know, I was saved at the age of seven. I always sung songs and stuff. And, you know, we make mistakes as we get older. And, you know, it was 21 years old.
We're going to make this work. We're going to make it work.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go. I'm talking about let's go. Because there's a lot of people need, they hungry, and a lot of people sad, and a lot of people want to smile, but they don't have that no one to help them too, you know. And I can only do so much, you know. I could do what I could do, but I, every day I get up, and I always try to strive to. I start small, but I always have a big heart and look for big things, because, like I said earlier, everything we own is God's property. And so while
things that you need to do, Marlon, is some of the guys that you know around there that have other talents too. You know, various talents, you know. There's guys there that got experience in welding and stuff like that and all the different vocations that they have learned. Once we get to talk with Ms. Neal, she can explain that the grant situation to you better, and then you should recruit other guys that can be beneficial. And you got a lot of teachers that been retired, that's in vocation and all that, just looking for something to do. You know, it's not a lot of things to do around there. You can create something to do.
That's what I want.
But I do know that there's a wealth of talent around there. And you can utilize it. You got a lot of teachers and just baby boomers that are retired. And I think you could get a lot of help once you get something started there. Because once people see something good going on, it's like a magnet. It's very spiritual and inspirational what you're doing. And you know, when you do things that you got God in it, it can't nothing happen but good things. And I'm excited about it, you know, and I know Ms. Neal is, because, man, she is a human right advocate.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And this lady is just round the clock. I don't know how she do it. I really don't. She just, she got her hand in so much stuff. I don't even see how her hand can hold all that stuff.
They say the same thing about me, but like she said, well, it's God. It's God.
It's
God. In the name of Jesus, God.
That's a good answer. I agree to that answer, but she is so informative, man. She's like a an encyclopedia. You know, it's the internet now, but when I was coming along, we had encyclopedias. She was like, you know, internet. She could just bark stuff off just about everything. So I'm so glad and blessed to befriend her, because she keep me on the straight and narrow. I need to know something. All I got to do is just, but get up with her. But I try not to consume her, because she got a hand in so much stuff, man. But she is a blessing, man. This lady is just a blessing. She is such an inspiration to so many people. And
thank you, Mr. Mosley. Thank you so much. I appreciate your accolades. I thank you for them. And I have a question right now.
Okay.
Mr. Johnson, when you were incarcerated for 12 years, did you see many mentally ill inmates? Were there many?
Yes, I was in Fort Worth, Texas for 5 years. It used to be a medical center, but they turned it into a FCI. And, yes, I was around, like, probably 200 people in wheelchairs. I was with that one guy. He had a half a body.
Are you going to tell me that 200 of the people were crippled? They were in wheelchairs?
Yes, ma'am. You have people actually probably got shot by the government or something, and they got gangrene. They had to cut their legs off. And with four life sentences, and their spirit was high, and, you know, and that motivated me. I'm like, wow, this man got half a body, and he was still making it every day, and that touched my heart and my soul to give me strength to, you know, when you're doing time.
Were any of them mentally ill as well as the ones who were physically handicapped? Were any of them mentally disabled?
Yes, I was kind of like, when I got out, I had to go through a program with DARS, Department of Rehabilitation. They had kind of diagnosed me like off balance, but I didn't claim it. I didn't claim it because I know, you know, our God a provider. You know, he'll provide us and he'll heal them. So, you know, yes, mental-wise, yes, it's for a lot of people. And that's why a lot of guys get out, because they be mental ill, because they become adjusted to a system. See, when you become adjusted to a system, hey, and then when you get back outside, it's like you only feel like you're still free. You still like you feel locked up mental. And then, you know, yes, ma'am. That's David.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
You so much for speaking for the prisoners and the reentry people.
Yes, and I always, every day, like, I want to go back into the prisons and motivate, you know, when you get out, let's stay out. You know, let's stay out of prison. You know, like I said, you got people get out here and they'll be out here a day, 2 days, and next thing you know, you miss them, they gone back. It's sad. Because the first thing they say, you got three cots, three meals in a cot, and it's free. That's the mentality they have. So we need to change that. We need to help change it.
And we will. We're gonna be in a fast pace to turn this around.
Let's go.
I noticed that when I was in the prison system, it was most of the guys that need to be in a mental institution instead of a prison. It's easier to get you in the prison system than it is to get you in the mental health system. We got to make a change. We got to bring that change about. You know,
it's like
a modern day slave. In the African American community. You know,
a lot of
whites get a chance to go to rehab. You know, if you look at all the stuff that Justin Bieber doing, if he was a black kid, he'd have been in prison. But it's unjust, and we got to be a voice and make a change.
Yes, we have to, because it's, you know, and I look out here, it's. I see people all the time. You know, you miss them, they're gone. If they ain't gone in the ground, like they said, jail or hell. And that's what it seems like.
It's been wonderful, guys. Our time is up, and we want to thank our audience for tuning in to Integrity in Law Enforcement and Corrections. Come again next Wednesday and Thursday for this show at the same time, 1 p.m. Pacific. Goodbye, everybody.